Hi, this is Scott Stanley, exploring the deep things of God in the book of Revelation. In our last podcast, we were looking at the sounding of the trumpets, the first two trumpets. Before we continue looking at the symbols in the trumpets, I want to talk a little bit about the message being given. In Revelation 14, starting at verse 6 through 11, are three angels flying in the midst of heaven, giving the everlasting gospel to those who dwell on the earth. This is key, because when you say the everlasting gospel, this is the only gospel there ever was. This is the gospel. And therefore, I have to believe what I'm reading in the trumpets is what is being spoken by the church. The people of God sounding those trumpets have to be giving a message very similar to what we're reading in Revelation 14. And just to quickly glance over it, you have a message in verse 7 of fearing God, and then Babylon falls. And then what happens to you if you continue worshiping the beast? Now, maybe there are things in here we haven't covered yet, but I want a key. First of all, what does he mean, fear God and give glory to him in Revelation 14:7? Again, this is the everlasting gospel. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We've all read this how many times? Starting at verse 10. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the part that needs to be understood. If you're going to bow the knee to Jesus and confess Jesus is Lord, it should be done to the glory of God the Father, according to Philippians 2, 10 and 11. And what you're seeing in this message in Revelation 14, fear God and give glory to him. Well, anything you attribute to Christ of what he did, what he accomplished, gives glory to God the Father. And if you're going to bow the knee to Christ, you do it to the glory of the Father. But you see, that is not what we see happening in the universal churches, the churches who are in apostasy. They have Christ born with a halo over his head, and they continue their Trinity God of the Son of God, or they would say God the Son, becoming a man. And in many churches I was in, they never really gave glory to God the Father through Jesus. They glorified Jesus. I can remember them saying, you know, Jesus is Lord. And the Father, you might go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and never hear anything about the Father, and yet the whole concept of salvation was the Father's idea. The fact that Jesus is Lord in Christ, according to Acts 2, God made him so. Well, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, it pleased the Father, Colossians 1:19, that the fullness be in him. If you're going to bow the knee and confess Jesus, it's all to the glory of God. Now, I want you to look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Let me include verse 4 in this. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now, at one time in my life, I would have read that and said, well, is God our Savior the Father or the Son or what, you know? Well, let's keep reading. After the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of Holy Spirit which he shed on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. So obviously, in Titus 3:4, you're talking about the Father. And he shed on you Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. That is how Jesus was our Savior. He carried the understanding of the Father, of how the Father perceives humanity, of what will save humanity, how to die to self. See, the Holy Spirit is all in that painted picture of the cross. When he says he saved us by the washing of regeneration, that would be better phrased of the washing, the regeneration. The regeneration is the washing. What is regeneration? Well, one of my Bible dictionaries or thesauruses calls this regeneration a radical change of mind for the better. It's a radical change of mind. Now, the people giving or sounding the trumpets have received the washing, the regeneration. They have received a radical change of mind. And that is what they're preaching in the trumpets. Fear God. If you're going to fear God and glorify him, then you bow the knee to Jesus Christ and confess Christ as Lord to the glory of the Father. That is how you're going to glorify God. That is how you're going to show respect and love to God. This word regeneration is used again in Matthew chapter 19. And I'm going to turn over there because Christ makes the statement in Matthew 19:28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in this radical change of mind, this radical change of thinking, you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall fulfill Psalms 110, verse 1, the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Now remember, we're looking at a radical change of mind. Look at what he says. You also, and he's talking to the apostles, shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, the 12 tribes of Israel are who wrote the Bible. And the apostles, taking instruction from Christ, gave explanation to the Old Testament. They judged the Bible. They judged the 12 tribes of Israel. And they wrote what we refer to as the New Testament, as they were inspired by the risen Savior. They judged the 12 tribes of Israel, following Christ into this radical change of understanding. And we have the New Testament, we have the book of Revelation. And we are following the apostles. If you don't, agree with the apostles, then you will not be saved. Because when you look at the holy city, when you look at the holy city, the Holy Spirit, the wall around that city has 12 foundations, and it's the names of the apostles. The apostles who were inspired to write the New Testament were experiencing a radical change of mind. Now, I want to play off of this because let's just look at the way Matthew 19 is set up. It just so happens that Matthew 19 seems to go along with what we're reading in Revelation in the first, second, and third angels' messages. If you'll look, Matthew 19, verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. And if you'll enter into life, keep the commandments." What did he just say? There is none good but one, God. He just told you there's one God. In fact, if I took the word good, there are none good but one, and I just took one of the O's out of it, there is no God but one, God, the Father. Fear God. Give glory to Him through Jesus. Say, He has given you the Godhead message right there. There is none good but one God. If you'll enter into life, keep His commandments. Well, we know now His commandments are to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now notice what He says in verse 18. He said unto them, well, which commandments do I keep? And Jesus said, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything He said was to love your neighbor as yourself. He never touched on, don't make an idol, don't have another God, keep the Sabbath. He never did that. Why? Because Galatians 5:14, you should write that right beside verse 19. Matthew 19:19, love your neighbor as yourself. That fulfills all of the law. So He says in verse 17, there's one God, and you fulfill all the law in loving your neighbor. Now listen to me. Once you understand that, you know that is what has to be being given in those trumpets. If you're going to give a message about God and you don't give an explanation of love and what it means to serve God in love, the two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor. How do I love God? I love God by loving my neighbor. That's how it works. So all of the law is fulfilled in one concept, love your neighbor as yourself. This has to be what is being given in those trumpets. Fear God. Give glory to Him. Right there, God is love. And I am going to explain Jesus Christ to the glory of love, to the glory of the Father. The hour of His judgment has come. See, fear God. It's time to get off the fence and make it a dedicated move to serve God. This is the message being given. Now, we're going to be getting back to those trumpets, and I'm going to be explaining them, but you've got to understand what they're talking about, what is being said. So look back, Matthew 19, verse 20. The young man, the rich young ruler, said unto him, well, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I lack? Jesus said, well, if you're going to be complete, if you're going to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Now, I used to read that, and I took that literally. Well, you know, he's got a lot of stuff. He needs to go sell it and give all of his goods away. That isn't what Christ is saying. For this young man to say, I've done that from my youth up, he was rich in his own understanding. To tell Jesus Christ, to ask him, what must I do to be saved? Showing you don't understand salvation, and he says, well, go love your neighbor. Well, I've been doing that all my life. So you're rich in your own understanding. So when he says, go sell, another word for that sell, if I took it back to the Hebrew, would be to surrender. Go surrender what you have. Go surrender your own understanding. Go surrender that. And what you have left, give to the poor, because what you have left will be the kingdom of God. Go surrender your own understanding, and then give to those who are poor in spirit, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Another picture of this is in Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven, the heavens, is like a treasure hid in a field, which when a man finds it, he hides it. For joy, he goes and surrenders all that he has and buys that field. What does he mean, treasure hidden in a field? Look at Jeremiah 41. In Jeremiah 41, verse 8, but 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not, for we have treasure in the field, wheat, barley, oil, and honey. Wheat and barley is how you make bread. It's a symbol of the Bible. It's a symbol of eating the bread of life. Oil is the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. Honey are sweet thoughts. Remember in Psalm 19, the law is like honey? The truth, when you are understanding it, is sweet. So, again, Matthew 13, 44, the kingdom of heaven, it's like treasure hidden in a field. Wheat, barley, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of the law, the truth of his writings, the honey, which when a man finds this, he hides it in his heart for joy and surrenders what he has and buys that field. So in Matthew 19, I believe that is what he's talking about. Go surrender what you have. Give to the poor what you have left, and you'll have treasure in heaven. So in verse 22, Matthew 19, when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful. Why, he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say unto you, I'm in Matthew 19:23, that a rich man, rich in his own idea, rich in his own truth, will hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven, because you have to sell or surrender all that you have. And again, I say, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich in his own understanding to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they took him literally, and they were amazed. They said, well, who can be saved? because probably in their mind they thought the more money you have means God has blessed you. Exactly what you see in the churches today. The televangelists, the more money they have, the more they think they're being blessed of God. In fact, if you were to go with me and approach some of these preachers and argue with them about what is the truth, they would eventually say to you, well, where's evidence that God's blessing you? Where are all the people? Where's all the money? You know, we take in, you know, some of them $2-3 million a week so they can stay on the air. Why would we listen to you? If we listened to you, there would be no money. God's blessing us. So the disciples are saying, well, who then can be saved? If the rich can't enter the kingdom, who then can be saved? See, they were taking him literally. He was talking spiritually. Verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said, with men, because you think literally, carnally, this is impossible. But with God, he thinks spiritually. He is spirit. All things are possible. Then answered Peter and said, behold, we have forsaken all. We followed you. What shall we have therefore? What shall we have? What do we get? Jesus said unto them, ye which have followed me in the radical change of thinking, when I sit on the throne of glory, fulfilling Psalms 110, verse 1, you're going to be determining the truths in the book. You're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken their old way of thinking, what you heard from your brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, everyone that forsakes all, like the man who found the treasure in the field, will receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Which, in Revelation 14, he shows you the opposite. He tells you of people who don't forsake it. When you look at this message in Revelation 14, I saw an angel fly in the heaven, verse 6. Verse 7, his message was fear God and give glory to him. And I'm just going to say through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, Babylon is fallen. You're able to tell them the confusion that you've been in about God has fallen because you have found the treasures of the field. Wheat, barley, oil, and honey. And you've surrendered everything to have that truth. Now, if you have received those truths, you have forsaken everything that you've heard in the past. And you're with him in that truth. In this message in Revelation 14, verse 9, the third angel followed them and said, well, if you continue worshiping the beast in his image, you're going to receive the mark. We haven't gotten in to all of those symbols. Again, Matthew 19 is telling you the positive. Revelation 14 shows you what's happening to those who won't receive the kingdom and have a radical mind change. Just realize that the sounding of these trumpets is not nothing. The sounding of these trumpets is radical. God expects those who have ears to hear to receive it and be changed and enter into the truth, possessing his Holy Spirit. Again, when we read the trumpets, this is what we're talking about. The washing, the regeneration, the radical mind change. And that is why it impacts the people the way it does in these trumpets. Heavenly Father, if there is anything that we can do to help us get this message down. Walk humbly with you. Spend more time in prayer. Study the scriptures. That is what we want. We want to be focused on what the truth is. We want nothing more. We're tired of all the frivolity and everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride. May we put all that away, and I ask you to give us your Spirit without measure, that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.